Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 6. If you're here last Sunday, we kind of gave an overview of the first part of this chapter, looking at a principle that is stated in verse 1 and how that applies to three areas, to our giving, to our praying, to our fasting. And this chapter kind of gives us two main aspects of the Christian life. The first deals with our worship of God. See that in the first 18 verses. And then the rest deals with our walk with God in relation to the worldly needs and cares that we may have. How are we to view the cares of this world when it comes to food and drink and clothing and shelters? He deals with that in this chapter. So the teaching of Jesus is given, as we saw back in chapter 5, and it's always in contrast to what the scribes and Pharisees were teaching. But instead of a contrast with their doctrine, like we saw in chapter 5, now we see a contrast with their manner of living and their manner of worship. He talks about how they gave, how they pray, how they fasted, and the hypocrisy that was involved in all of that. The word alms there in verse 1, as we said last Sunday, could be translated, "Take heed that you do not your acts of righteousness before men." That's the general principle that governs the three aspects of worship which we're going to see. We're going to look at giving today, praying next Sunday, and then we'll have a message on fasting. We must not desire to do any of these things to be seen of men. We're not to be seeking their praise and have glory to ourselves. Now, this is there's a fine balance involved here in trying to give glory unto God and yet not receive glory for ourselves. And we're going to see that as we go along how important it is that we have the right motivation concerning our giving. Now, sure enough, we've got first-time visitors, and here we go. We're going to talk about giving. Don't get upset and leave and never come back. We don't talk about giving every Sunday, I promise you. We don't beat this horse a lot because we got a good giving church. It's not something I have to dwell on like some pastors seem to. But let's look at this. The first four verses in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to stand to honor God's word with me, if you're physically able, follow along as we read verses 1 through 4 in chapter 6. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms or your righteous acts before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," and here he's talking about giving, "do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou," talking to his disciples, "when you do your alms, when you give, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly." Amen. You may be seated. So when we took up the offering a while ago, did you put your left hand behind you to put in your offering? You don't want the left hand to see what your right hand's doing, right? No, that's not what it's talking about. But we'll look at that in a moment. That just occurred to me because we just took up the offering. And our giving is unto God. We're not seeking the glory and the praise of men in our giving. Sometimes I say, "Well, Brother West, doesn't this contradict back in chapter 5, verse 16? Look at this. Back in chapter 5, verse 16, if you remember, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Then we get to chapter 6 and verse 4. says do it in secret. Now, what is there a contradiction here? Are we to do it secretly, or are we to do it so people can see what we're doing? Well, the idea here is your giving is not to bring attention to yourself, it's to bring attention to God. What you do is to bring glory unto God, not unto yourself. So it kind of works together in that regard. But we've been noticing here the difference between true righteousness and the pseudo-righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Remember, chapter 5, verse 20 is the key verse to the whole Sermon on the Mount. When he said that your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. But their righteousness was a self-righteousness. The righteousness we can have is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the difference here. Our worship must always be done with right motivation. Now, I gave you a very, very simple outline today, just two main thoughts and a few sub-thoughts. But let's just think about this. First of all, let's think about the wrong way to give. There's a wrong way of doing this. Three thoughts here. First of all, do not give for praise. Do not give to be praised of men. Now, the alms here is talking about giving to those in need. It's kind of the idea of giving to charity. But yet, we can enlarge that and just talk about giving in generals. I already got people walking out on me. My wife and granddaughter. I even started. They're already walking out. We're not to give for recognition. That's the motivation some people have in their giving. They want a pat on the back. They want to be praised. Some of y'all might remember Nancy Lloyd, Betty's adoptive mother. And she and Richard visited our church several times. And we lost Sister Nancy a few years back. I remember we went to the funeral, and the pastor shared with us that Nancy, she lived in Phoenix, which is hot. She kept bottled water in her car with a $5 bill, rubber band to that bottle of water. When she would see a homeless person or somebody out on the street with a sign or something, she would stop and roll down the window and she would give them a bottle of water with the $5 bill. It was also a gospel tract. And that was just her. I didn't even know she did it. The pastor shared that with us in her funeral. And I was so touched by that. She never did talk about it. She didn't want recognition for it. This was just something she wanted to do for her Savior. To share the gospel and to reach out and help those in need. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, listen. We talk about giving. You understand that we ought to be good stewards. Everything we have comes from God. Amen. Everything you have comes from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "What hast thou that thou did not receive from God? Now if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it?" What have we got to glory about? Everything we have is from God. And we are just being good stewards and sharing that which God has placed into our possession. Everything you have has been given to you. Amen. Write this verse down. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "God giveth thee power to get wealth." Or you can say, "God gives you good health so that you can work and have an income." Everything comes from God. The air you breathe comes from God. The water you drink comes from God. Yet how many people are not grateful for what God has given them? So this applies to everything we do in the service of God. Just be careful that we don't serve God for the praise of men. You know, we preachers can preach that way. And I could preach in a way that I want you to praise me. Talk about, you know, what a wonderful sermon that is. Amen? Now, here's the problem with that. If I'm preaching for the praise of men, then I might start compromising. I might start staying away from those subjects like giving that offends people. I might start watering down the gospel. If I'm seeking the praise of men, that's what I'll do. And a lot of preachers do that. Amen? So pray for your pastor that he doesn't get caught up in that. I found out that you can't please people anyway. So I just try to please the Lord. People are fickle. They love you one day and hate you the next. God's more consistent about that, isn't he? So if I'm going to be an ear tickler and start soft peddling subjects like sin and sacrifice, then I've got to answer to God. And I don't want to do that. So not only pastors, but church leaders, deacons, teachers can also get caught up in this idea of doing things to please the people, to seek popularity. We got to be careful about that. You know, the Bible says to us preachers over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So we got to be careful about this. We got to preach. And in preaching, sometimes we have to reprove. Sometimes we have to rebuke. That's part of preaching. And I want you, you know, I pray before I preach. One thing I usually pray is, God, I pray that they will receive this in the same spirit that I'm going to preach it. I preach it. I'm not angry at anybody. I'm not mad. But I've got to preach the truth. And sometimes the truth can be hard. It can be hard to swallow. So I don't ask the deacons what to preach. I ask the Lord what he wants me to preach. And, you know, some people, when it comes to this giving for praise, you know, if you don't brag on them, they get upset. They don't want to do anything else because you did not recognize what they've done. Yeah, I know some people, they kind of act like the church would just fold up and die if it wasn't for them. I just want to say, well, go ahead and die and let's see. Just go ahead and die. Let's see if it folds up and dies. Now, the cause of Christ is going to go on without me or you. Amen. You're welcome. None of us are indispensable. So, Brother West, move on to the next point, all right? Do not give for profit. Some people will give, and it's doing the right thing, but in the wrong motive. It doesn't really matter how much you give or how much you pray if the motive is wrong. You know that? Why do we give? Are we seeking to make a deal with God? If I give, you give back. A lot of people give that way, don't they? They give for profit. I heard about a man who had a farm next to an elderly widow woman. And she had a nice place, but she needed somebody to help her keep it up. So this neighbor guy, he just kind of looked out after her. He would go over there and to make sure livestock was fed and firewood was cut and fences were mended, all these things that need to go on. And he was just always helping her out in some way. She had no family. And she put in her will that the neighbor would get her farm when she passed on. One day, this man's little boy was there talking with her, and he said, "Did you know that we're going to get a new farm?" She said, "Is that right?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I heard Daddy tell Mama that it won't be long and that old hag is going to die and we're going to get the farm." She changed her will. So I would too. He was doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Amen. See, folks, this is why the prosperity gospel is so popular today. The prosperity, you know what that is. Name it, claim it. Sow, plant a seed, faith. If you give, God's going to have to give back to you. You're going to get a nice profit in your return. And people love that. They eat that up. Now you say, "Well, Brother West, doesn't the Bible say that God will bless those who give?" Yes, it does. It does say that. That's a Bible principle. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." That's a promise from God. God will bless. God promised tithers back in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He said to the tithers that he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon those who would give. He said, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." You know what that means? See, when you tithe and give like you ought to, God rebukes those things that will devour your income. Amen? Your washing machine will last longer. You won't have to take your car to Mike's shop all the time. Mike loves it when I bring this out, that he gets your tithes because you won't. But he tithes off your tithes. That's good. Amen. Rebuke the devourer for your sake. God will do that. Now, while that is in the Bible, that still should not be the main motive for giving. Amen. It's not, let's make a deal with God that he's got to give back more than what you gave. That's wrong motive. Don't give for profit. Then number three, do not give for power. So what do you mean by that? Don't give with strings attached. Some people will use their generous giving as leverage to get their way in a church. I heard about a church that a pastor took over this church, and this church had been controlled for years by a man in that church who was the big giver in the church. His giving pretty much was the majority of what came into that little church. And because of this, he insisted that everything be done his way or he would just cut them off. He would run off pastor after pastor after pastor. The church let him do it. The church let him get away with it because he was the big giver. And they were afraid if he stopped giving, what would happen? That man died. And you know he still controls that church from the grave? He left that church a large portion of money, but with a stipulation. That they could only take what the interest came out of that. They could never have all the money, just the interest. And he stipulated things that they could do with the money. But the new pastor said, "I got a mind to just send that money back to his family because we don't want anything with strings attached." I say amen. Does God give to us with strings attached? No. God gives freely in his grace. One pastor went to a new church and they told him, "Pastor, that piano was donated by a lady in our church, and it can never be moved from that spot. She stipulated that is where she wants it, and it can never be moved anywhere else. Pastor said, well, give me her name and phone number. I'm going to call her and tell her to come get her piano. Got one amen. Thank you, Angela. Don't give with strings attached so that you can control that church and exercise power over it. A lot of people do that. You ever heard somebody say, and after all I've done for you? See? They're trying to control that person. Because if you don't do what they want you to do, they'll say, well, after all I've done for you, you won't do this for me? I mean, you're a heel if you don't do what they say after all they've done for you. They'll hold it over your head. I just seen they don't do anything for me. If that's the way it's going to be. So some give, and if you don't show enough gratitude for what they give, they get upset, won't give any more. So that's another way of giving for praise. You want the gratitude shown for what you've given. And if you don't get the gratitude, right? Am I stepping on some toes here? Kind of got quiet here. You know, the idea behind it, this is why some pastors will not accept expensive gifts from church members, like a new car or a house or something. They don't want to be obligated to that church member. By the way, I'm not that way. If you want to give me a new car, I don't want to rob you of a blessing. Some of you are not smiling. It's my goal to get some of you to smile before I die. You look so sour all the time. All right, let's talk about the right way to give. Amen. We talked about the wrong way. What's the right way? He says, give without pretense. Don't be like the Pharisees, the scribes, who do the right thing but for the wrong reason. Matter of fact, go to Matthew 15. Let me show you something else Jesus says in this regard. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Again, he's talking to these scribes and Pharisees. He says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Can you imagine us coming to the house of God to worship, and it's just all in vain as far as God's concerned? Now, I know Jesus calling them hypocrites and all this. He didn't take that course on how to win friends and influence people, did he? He just didn't pull any punches. But I wonder, how much hypocrisy is there going on every Sunday in our churches? That people still honor God with their lips, but their heart's really not in it. I mean, we're saying, oh, how I love Jesus, and skip the evening service. That's how much we love Jesus. I won't even come back. Amen. We could pray that the gospel spread all over the world, yet we won't give to missions. We'll say amen to soul winning, yet never witness. We sing, I love to tell the story, and never do. Folks, it's only lip service. Your heart is really not in these things. So Jesus says, when you give, don't do it for the praise of men. Now, by the way, that only deals with people who give. See, many don't have a problem with this because they don't give. It's not a big deal to them. I mean, the non-giver is not going to sound a trumpet to call attention to the fact he's not giving anything or just giving a pittance. They don't want people to see. I mean, they take that dollar and fold it up to the size of a stamp to put it in the offering plate. They don't want people calling attention to what they're giving. Amen? By the way, the idea of blowing a trumpet. Somebody asked me, said, did they really do that? And I read somewhere that there was times when the rich men in Jerusalem would take one of their servants with a silver trumpet, and he would blow that trumpet, and it was to summon all the poor people together around, and he would give them alms. So there were times when they would blow the trumpet before they would give to those in need. But like I said, a lot of people don't want anybody blowing the trumpet to call attention to the little bit they give. See, non-givers don't like us keeping records about what they give. You know, we do that, don't we, Brother Robert? We keep a contribution record. At the end of the year, we send you a record of what you gave for the past year. That embarrasses some people, because they look at that and realize they didn't give much. See, here's the idea. If you really want to know if you're a tither, look at that contribution record, and did you give 10% of your income to the church? If you gave less, you're not a tither. See, some people tithe when they're here, but they don't when they're not here. During the summer, when they're off on vacation up at the lake, they spend their tithe money on vacations. Amen? Oh, me? Do you know God keeps records? Don't worry about us keeping records. God keeps records of what we do and how we give. He knows what we make. He knows what we give. See, you know, I'm the only one that doesn't have any privacy about what I make. My income is printed every month for you to look at. I think your income should be printed out too, by the way. I think every member's income should be printed and given to all the members. Now, it doesn't bother me. I don't care. But I'm not complaining about it. This church does a great job of supporting their pastor. But I'm not complaining. You know, if you're watching by YouTube, keep those offerings coming in. Amen. If this ministry has blessed you, I watch televangelists too. I know how. So I'm not getting blessed much today, Brother West. So. Secondly, give without proclamation. Some people, like I say, they come to the house of God. They don't sing. They don't pray. They don't give. They don't testify. You know, some people, they come and watch others worship. Right. Amen. Amen. They don't worship. They're just watching others worship. That is in vain, isn't it? Why does Jesus say in Acts 20, 35, it's more blessed to give than receive? Isn't it a blessing to have something to give? Amen. Folks, listen, I would much rather be on the giving end than to be living in some third world country depending upon our offerings to pay their way. It's more blessed to give than to be on the other side to receive. You see that? It's a blessing. We ought to thank God that we have the means by which we can give and help others. As I said, God's a God of grace. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. And grace never blows a trumpet to announce it. You know, while attending seminary back in the mid-80s, we'd get there kind of early and we'd meet in the fellowship hall and have coffee and visit before our first class. One day, one of the preacher boys was talking. He said, "Man," he said, "I just got blown away Sunday by the large offering that we received. But then I remembered I gave most of it. I got my tax return back, and most of that came from me." One of the preachers stood up and said, "This brother gave most of the offering received in his church last Sunday." Everybody stood up. Oh, he turned red as a beet. He wanted us to know what he'd done, but he didn't want that kind of response. Preachers can be mean, amen? Here's the last thought. Give without pride. Again, he doesn't say if you give, he says when you give. God expects you to give. Many do give a little bit, but not generously. They give what they don't need. They don't really ever give sacrificially. What does verse 3 mean about the right hand, the left hand? That was an idiom used in that day and time. As most people are right-handed, you do a lot of things with your right hand you don't even think about. Amen? You don't think about it, you just do these things with your right hand. Left hand doesn't pay any attention to what your right hand's doing. So the whole idea here is don't give to be praised to men. Don't even give to praise yourself. Don't give to congratulate yourself on how wonderful you are. You remember back in Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, Jesus talks about the Pharisee and the publican that go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was so proud as he prayed. And he talked about how that he is not like others and how he gives, he tithes everything. Everything he has, he gives a tenth of it. And he's so proud of himself for this. Remember, the publican sat over in the corner and just beat his breast of, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus was more impressed with the publican than he was with the rich Pharisee and all that he gave to the temple. So, preacher, are you saying that we should not give openly? Why are we passing out these offering plates if we're not to give openly? This is not saying you cannot give openly. Just says don't call attention to it. No, Barnabas gave a generous offering to the church and everybody knew about it. But he didn't give it for that reason. He wasn't trying to call attention. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied about saying that they had given everything. And if they had given everything, it would have been with the wrong motive. Because they wanted the praise that they saw Barnabas getting. They wanted the praise, but not at the same expense. Right? Be careful about your giving. We need to pray. We need to ask God to give us the grace of giving. To give from cheerful hearts. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you non-givers, you've suffered through this. So, Brother Wes, I've got some really good excuses for not giving. That's what they are, they're excuses. There's only one reason you don't give. You don't trust God. You don't trust God. Even though God says that he would bless you, you don't believe him. That's why you don't give. My dad, back in the 60s when I was growing up, he pastored a little church. He made $75 a week as pastor. And he tithed on that. He had a brother who had a big cotton farm in Arkansas. Made good money. Made a good living as a farmer. But he would not tithe. He was a faithful deacon in the church. But he would not tithe. He said, I make too much money to tithe. Do you know how much my tithe would be? They told my dad, said, if I didn't make any more than you do, I wouldn't have trouble with tithe. He doesn't think about what's left over. Dad wanted to choke him. But it's funny how people think, isn't it? How they justify these things. He said, well, Brother West, I just can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. If you want God's blessings, don't rob God. You young people. Now, the old people pretty much carry the church financially. I want to talk to you young people, you young adults who don't tithe because you say we can't afford to. You need to move things around so you can't afford to. If you want God's blessings, don't rob God of what belongs to Him. He cannot bless you if you do. As we stand together, as we have a hymn of invitation. Lost friend, let me say this to you. If you're lost, God doesn't want your tithe. God wants your heart. Amen? Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. If you're not saved, that's what God wants you to give him your heart. Because, listen, he that has your heart has everything you've got.